God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Good
morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Hey, awesome. You guys have it down today. Look out, Justin. Here they come. Welcome. It is great to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here. Isn't it a gorgeous day today? Man, we have been totally spoiled, amen, on weather this year in the fall. I know that probably farmers are saying, hey, wait a minute, Eric, we need rain. And I know we do, but boy, it sure has been gorgeous. It sure has been gorgeous. So, hey, how about those girls' softball team? Yeah. State champs, I don't think there's any question the way the scores came out, is there? No question at all. And our high school football team are district champs. Got a lot to celebrate. I'm sure there's other things. You got to feed us that information, though, so we know what to celebrate. We want to lift you up and celebrate your successes, so make sure that you let us know. We also have something going on tonight that I want to share with you here. It's very important. We've been talking about it. So get that orange insert out of your bulletin. Look at those cute pictures. Look at that. You see, I don't know who that is in the bottom center there. We won't raise up any names. But anyway, today is the last day. Obviously, tonight we are going to be doing that. So we're going to have trunk or treat tonight, 6:30 to 8. Please sign up. Bring your trunk. It would be so awesome. Of course, put candy in it, right? Yeah, to have this parking lot lined up and even have to come out here in front of the church, that would be amazing for our children. You know, one thing that we focus on in this church is to change people's lives. Amen. And not only to change people's lives, but in Jesus' name, right? Change people's lives. And tonight, we want to help change kids' lives, help them know that this church loves them and cares for them and want them to have a safe place in this night when probably many people, the last place that they think of is the church. And my understanding of church history is that All Saints Day, which by the way, today is All Saints Day, Halloween started with All Hallows Eve. And culture did its twists and turns up on it to make it what it is today. So let us bring our kids, let us bring our trunks with even sugar-free candy. Hey, that's really loving our kids, isn't it? We don't have to tell the kids. David and Stephen aren't listening. But anyway, come on down. You probably want to. What time do the trunks need to be here, Deanna?
Six.
Six. 6 o'clock. So bring your trunks at six with the candy in them. And as you can tell, people love to dress up. So you are welcome to dress up. There have been some very cool things that you guys have done over the years. So also, we don't want to forget that next week, we got to put the clocks back, right? We get an extra hour of sleep. Yes! Gotta love that, don't we? Don't forget, some folks tried to do that last week, and they came here in time for lunch bunch. But anyway, so just remember, put your clocks back for next week. So anyway, are you ready for an amazing worship service?
Yes.
You know, one thing that we want to do, we're going to less and less share announcements with you that are in the bulletin. So please take time to read those. Put them next to your calendar so you know what's going on. Mark things down so that you can be a part of the amazing events that are taking place here at the church. Also, the third page of this is what we call a connection card. Now, there's a perforation there. I invite you to tear that off. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times. There have been times when they perforate it so good it falls off on its own, and we didn't want that. So, but anyway, you can tear that off. Fill that out, please. Put your name, address, telephone number in there, and put it in the offering plate. Homer will remind you before the offering time to do that. If you're visiting with us today, please make sure you fill this out. put your name, address, telephone number so that we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for worshiping with us on this gorgeous day. One last thing I want to mention, because I don't remember it being in here. We are having newcomers class today at 1 o'clock. So if you are interested, you could be a longtime member. That is totally fine. Come on down and we just have coffee together, or if you want water, whatever. That's about as strong as we get, though. And we have fun together from about 1 to 4, and we share information about the church. And so you're welcome. But if you're a newcomer and you want to be a part of that class, it is not forcing you to make a decision at all. It's just sharing information with you. Don't forget the study guide that I like to call Cliff Notes, because Cliff Soppy writes them. I like to take these home and study these on a daily basis. They help me get focused and just in my spiritual life. Just a way for me to focus my day on what is important. So make sure you take these home, set them beside your prayer chair with the joys and concerns in the bulletin so that you have names to pray for. All right. So as we begin worshiping this morning, we just have a lot to celebrate. And I want to invite Tracy Spry forward at this time for our stewardship moment. There she is. Come on down. And then we'll begin with our prayer there. Thank you.
Good morning. By a show of hands, or just think about in the back of your mind, some of the things that our church does for us and for the community. For example, who here is a member of Boy Scouts or has a child or grandchild who's a Boy Scout? Who's a member of Lions Club? Who's been to a movie night? Who's done a Bible study or a small group study in our church? Who's been to Spark or Ignite? Who's gone to a Weight Watcher meeting? Who's been to a wedding, a funeral, or a shower at our church? Who's been sick and received a visit from Caring Ministries? Who sought comfort and counsel with the pastor? Who enjoys receiving the newsletter? Who's listened to the service on the radio or the internet? Who came to the Family Fun Festival? Who's been on a mission trip? Who's invited a friend to our church because they go to a church that's not able to offer one of these things? Our church is blessed in that it's been able to do so much for our community. Every time somebody comes to our church or a function held at our church, it's an opportunity to touch a life. Because of your gifts, our church is able to offer something for everyone, young and old. Some ask, why does God want my money? Why is tithing important? Tithing teaches us obedience. When God asks for something, we should be willing to give it freely and gladly. It teaches us trust. Surrendering our income is scary, especially when we have little to begin with. We are taught discipline by tithing. Doing something difficult routinely takes discipline. We also have a financial obligation to support our church. Tithing keeps the doors to God's house open for everybody. One of the things that God asks of us is obedience. God doesn't want us to be his slaves or puppets. He asks for obedience because it makes our lives easier. He has the advantage of knowing all things through all time and sees pitfalls and problems before we can even imagine them. When we are obedient, God can smooth our paths through those things. God has no need for our money. What he wants is our joyful willingness to give whatever he asks of us. Obedience opens up opportunities for God to bless us. God also asks for our faith and our trust. When we willingly surrender our income, especially when we can't afford to, we're telling God, I believe that you will take care and provide for me. We also tithe because we have a personal responsibility to our church. Our church facilities also need keeping, and the keeping of our house is the responsibility of the family. And so if we're part of the church family, then we are responsible for its upkeep. God doesn't want us to give so much for his sake as for our own. He wants us to be obedient and to give him opportunities to bless us. I've grown up with this church, and I'm thankful for the generosity of the people. God has touched my life in many ways, and I am thankful and blessed that I have First Church to share that with. According to 2 Corinthians, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. I urge you to prayerfully consider what you want to tithe next year. Pastor Dirk says to think of your time, your talents, and your tithes, and to give your best gift. According to pastor and author Brian Cluth, some people say to give until it hurts, but God recommends that we give until it feels good. God loves a cheerful giver. For some, it may be 25 cents a week to Jeremiah. Some may have $20 a week to give, and others may have 100 or more. All God seeks is your obedience and your best gift so that First Church can continue to touch the lives of the people in this community and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Bell Choir. Would you please stand for our songs of praise found on screen?
Holy God, we come before you this day giving you praise and thanks. Those ancient words that have brought the church to this day, God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, God, for those people who preserve those words and were filled with your Spirit, God. We thank you, God, for us gathered here today. We thank you that you were thinking of us before our day even began, Lord. We give you praise that before our eyes were open to this gorgeous day, you were planning it for us. We ask for your powerful anointing, God. Fill us full of your Spirit. Wash away all the sin that's in our lives. Give us strength, Lord, to ask for forgiveness and then allow your Spirit in Jesus' name just to wash those sins away. May it wash over us like a tidal wave, God. May all those dark places in our lives be filled with your light. Every corner that maybe we don't want others to see. We ask for your light to shine today, God. Fill us so full that your Spirit oozes out of our pores so that when we leave this place, God, it is so obvious that we are saturated with your holiness. We give you thanks and praise for the gifts that you give us. We thank you, God, that you are holy, that you are, God, the ultimate authority. And we give you praise that we can come to you and we can worship you and we can bow down to you without fear. And we know in Jesus' name that we can be blessed, God. Be with us today. Anoint us fully. Make us one with you and one with each other in Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen. Jamie and I are going to sing, and we want you to echo with us, all right? Echo with us.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
Saving grace, you will reign forever. You are ancient of days. You're the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Amen.
You are holy.
You are holy.
Adore him, and I will bow down before. my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Let's give God some praise this morning. Please be seated.
Now we'll have Kids Corner brought to us by Max and Chico. Come on down, kids.
I love Jesus.
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Let's get a clap in.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Louder!
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes I do.
Yes I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
Amen.
Hey, Max. Max!
What? Oh, hi, Chico.
Why are you dressed like that?
So I can look cool.
Cool? You don't need to dress like that to be cool.
Sure I do. Everyone else who's cool dresses like this.
Why do you want to be cool?
So I can witness. Yeah, that's it. So I can witness.
Max!
Well, I just want to fit in, so I decided to dress like everyone else.
Max, how you dress doesn't make you cool. And besides that, how are you going to be a witness if the people you are trying to witness to decide how you act and look?
I don't think I get what you're saying.
If people don't see that you're different, then they won't know about the change that Jesus made in your life. We have to be like the apostles.
The apostles? You mean like the apostles Peter and John and Paul?
Yes, Max, the apostles.
But how? I can never be like the apostles.
Sure you can. You have the same Holy Ghost inside of you that the apostles had, so you can do anything that the apostles did in the Bible, including turning your world upside down.
Turning my world upside down? Is that really in the Bible?
Yes, it's in the Acts 17:7. The apostles were accused of turning their world upside down.
Wow, but how can I turn my world upside down for Jesus? Is there anything special that I have to do?
You have to live a life that screams Jesus. The apostles made a big impact on the world because they live different than those around them. They can't make a change in the world if they don't stand out and live differently. You have to stand up higher and let your light shine.
You mean like the song?
Yeah, especially the verse that says, "Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine."
So are you saying that I was sort of, kind of hiding my light under a bushel by trying to fit in?
Yes, Max. It's right to be friends with people of the world, as long as we influence them more than they influence us.
Oh, I see. Well, I can't say that I'm unhappy about getting rid of this hat.
Why's that?
Because I can't see a thing with it over my eyes.
Let's pray. Dear God, help us to share you with everyone around us. Amen.
Kids, get your cups and collect change for missions.
And that change is no small change indeed. During 2009, they collected over $4,600 for apportionments. Our song of praise is Blessed Assurance, number 369 in your blue hymn book.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus.
Today is a very special day in the life of this church and life of churches across the nation. This is All Saints Day. And it is a day when we remember those saints who have passed on in this past year, who are members of this church, and also those saints who are members of our families and friends of us who have changed our life and made us who we are because of their life experience with us. It's a day that we remember these people. We will, as we say a name, we will light a candle, and the church bell will be rung as you can remember, pray for, remember, have those memories in your mind of that person in your life. Let us begin. Elizabeth Drake.
Gary Lawler.
Stan Intelman.
Ruth Allen.
LaDorna Ard.
Geneva Martin.
Joyce Gillespie.
Larry Peck.
Mary Chance.
Janice Hughes.
The last candle and the last bell rang will be lit and rang as we lift up those Christians who have died by sharing their faith. They have changed our lives. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you today as a church, celebrating, Lord, the lives of those who are with you now. Dear God, you know how lonely it can be sometimes to live without these saints. These mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, children. And although we as a church, we have a solid belief that they are with you, God, and we celebrate that, we rejoice that the life that they led and their relationship with you through Jesus was such that they are with you now. But holy God, we are so lonely for them many times. Lift us up, God. Remind us that we will all be home one day. And we can all celebrate together and be together as we once were. We thank you for this confidence, God. We thank you for this church. And we thank you, Lord, for the saints who have gone on before us, because they have made us what we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our choir will now sing the word and song, "When in Our Music God is Glorified."
When in our music God is
Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Colossians. Thank you, choir, for bringing us that word and song. If you would turn with me to the book of Colossians this morning. It is right after the book of Philippians, right before 1 Thessalonians, I believe. Now, for those who may not know, where are those books, in the Old or the New Testament? That's right, in the New Testament. So turn almost to the back of your Bible. I hope you have your Bible. If you don't, there are pew Bibles there. I know all of us have different versions, and that is totally fine. Hi. Oh, you're not waving at me? Oh, man. Are you saying that baby's cuter than me? Boy. By far, that is exactly right. Can we get an amen on that one? 1 Colossians. Now I'm all shook up. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Colossians 1. Begin with verse 15. Once you find that, would you close the Bible on your finger and stand with me if you're able? Raise those Bibles high above your head. Let's say our Bible pledge loud and proud this day. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. The Apostle Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We have a treat this morning. Oh, Reverend Justin Grifford is going bring us the sermon today. Here you go, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning. How are we doing? After the puppet show, I thought I would just do the entire sermon through a dialogue with Max and Chico, but I didn't think that could be just as effective. I don't know. You let me know after the service. But I've got two texts for you. I want you to go there, as I don't have much time with you today. If you would go to Psalm 115 and Daniel chapter 4, I want to encourage you to flip there in your Bibles if you have them, because throughout the week, whether you read your Bible, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bathroom, wherever, I will not be there to show them to you on PowerPoint. I think that would be a little weird for me and for you, so I'm just going to leave that for here. So, and I can't say that this sermon will be one that leaves you, that has you leave here maybe feeling good. My hope is that you walk away feeling encouraged, not because of how small you are, but because how big God is. And so for some of the things that we're going to be talking about, I want you to pay close attention to the thoughts that go on in your mind and the feelings that you have in your heart. Again, I can't guarantee that all will sit well with you, but with that said, let's go. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Okay? He does all that he pleases. He doesn't need my permission. He doesn't need my input. He doesn't need your opinion. He does all that he pleases. Okay? Now, flip over Daniel 4. Daniel chapter 4, Old Testament. Starting with 34, I didn't put all the verse on there. I just mainly put the high point. So I'm going to read you what I have. This is Nebuchadnezzar. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar is ruling over the Babylonians. And at this time, the Babylonian Empire is just the Mac Daddy of ruling, of rulers in the Middle East. And so Nebuchadnezzar is having people come and worship him, worship his greatness. And God sees that and humbles him for that. In turn, God humbles him, and Nebuchadnezzar repents. And Nebuchadnezzar says this. He says, "At the end of days of I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." On the screen. "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All of the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, and none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" So, though people might come to God, chest out, cup on, and say, "Hey, yo, God, what's up? This is not working the way I thought it would. It's not working the way that I want it to. What's going on with that?" People do that every single day. It does not mean that we have a place, that we have a right to say that. Okay? Now, these texts are not widely popular. These are difficult verses, because we are brought up in a culture that brings us up to believe that it's all about us. And so whenever we hear about a God who does all that he pleases, that sees us in comparison to him as nothing, okay, there are things inside of us, we have these thoughts of, yeah, well, but, you know, I don't necessarily think that. We tend to go back to maybe sweeter verses that talk about the love, the mercy, okay? Puppy and kitty cat verses, which are good. You know, we tend to go back to that rather than talk about a God who does all that he pleases. Okay? So what do we want 9 times out of 10? We want a domesticated God, right? Okay? We want a God that will do whatever. Some ladies are trying to domesticate their husbands still, right? A little bit of elbowing going on. I mean, we want a God who we can pick up a bell. I'm going to put my gloves on. We can pick up a bell and how do you do it? And we want to say, "I want this." Okay? We want a little genie God, a little butler God with gloves, huh? And it's great whenever we want something and we need something. We want that God, but whenever God gets into our lives and maybe it feels like he's making a mess of things and things get ugly, we say, "Bad God!" And we maybe we curse him. Maybe we just say, "Stay out of my life. I want nothing to do with you." Maybe you think he's messed in the carpet and you take him and you rub his nose in it. Because God, you don't have a right to get into my life. I will call you. I will ring the bell. Bing, whenever I need you. Okay? And now we have a problem with this. Well, first of all, mankind has always been in rebellion. Okay? Some people say we're trying to get back to some kind of golden age. There never was a golden age, okay? There will be one day, but get this. 2 chapters in the Bible, man is without rebellion. Ever since then, mankind has been on a crash course, a train wreck, disaster, okay? Awful. Now, you and I struggle with this today, 2010, because we are grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren of the Enlightenment. Okay, and I don't have a whole lot of time to talk about that. There are far more people that know more about that than I do. But the Enlightenment took place about around 200 years ago. And what the Enlightenment did was it was sort of the enlightenment of mankind. And so what man did on a massive scale was turn away from the divine and look towards himself in matters of reason, and matters of philosophy, government, science, all sorts of things like this. Now, this originated in France. There was a ruling society in France, the upper class, that aristocracy was in power and was the reigning authority along with the church. And so what the Enlightenment did was try to strip that upper class of its authority as well as the church. So again, with the Enlightenment, you see in a massive scale, on a massive scale, man turning away from the divine and looking toward himself. Now, we get a lot of great things from the Enlightenment. A lot of what our government is built on comes from the Enlightenment. We had great thinkers, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, were part of the Enlightenment. And with that came ideas like self-determination, okay? Individualism, freedom for the individual, which are all good things, God things, things from the Bible in a certain context. But this also creates a massive problem for minds like ours who read texts like this and say, no, God can't do whatever he wants. He can't do all that he pleases. Okay, I'm nothing. Okay, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not just. All of this is based in Enlightenment thinking. Okay, when self rules, when you become your own authority, there becomes no such thing as true authority, and all that will be left is to rebel against any and all authority. This is the culture that we live in. This is so much in our culture. I can take you through certain examples of how this is the air that we breathe. Okay, let's talk music. John Mellencamp, "I fight authority, and authority always wins." Yes. Okay, "I fight authority and authority always wins." "Fight the Power" by Public Enemy. Okay, I'm not going to sing any of that one. That's got some curse words in it, so I'm going to leave that one alone. "Minority" by Green Day. "I want to be the minority. I don't need your authority." And I know that we probably have some from generations past. We can even go back to John Lennon. "Imagine." Okay, "Imagine there's no government. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine there's no heaven." Just this real free-thinking idea of what if we do away with all authority. Okay, let's look at movies. Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman, right? Okay. Cool Hand Luke. Dead Poets Society. Fight Club. You could go to your home and probably find dozens of movies that have these themes in them. Am I right? We can look at the business arena. We can look at the political arena. There are CEOs, there are politicians who have taken their positions of authority and they have squandered them because at some point they believe that they can do whatever they want. Okay? And just as many businessmen, just as many politicians as there are in the church. The church has not escaped this. There are dozens and dozens of church leaders who, again, have squandered their positions of authority, whether it be stealing money from the church, getting involved in an affair, you name it, okay? With man's eyes glued to himself, when man focuses on himself and becomes his own authority, he is without balance and he is without anchor. When he puts himself as king and as supreme, he puts himself in a place of destruction, discontent, and man was never created to live like that. All right, what I want to do is let's move away from man and talk about God. In Genesis, God is. Okay, he was not born, he has always been. He was not created, he did not manifest from nothingness, he was not someone's lofty idea. God has always been and has existed in three forms: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And in that triune nature, God was complete, lacking nothing. God has always been content in himself and happy in himself. Creation was never about God needing to be completed. Okay? There's this idea that a lot of people have that after God created the space and the heavens and the stars and the trees and animals, that God was lonely and that he needed to create man to complete him, okay, to take care of his loneliness. That is a silly self-centered, ridiculous idea. If God needs Justin Grifford, he is not the God of the universe. Amen? If God needs Eric Dirks, he is not the God of the universe. Lots of amens on that one. Yeah. Okay. In the beginning, God is, period. Let that sink in. Yet, in his complete contentment and happiness with himself, in that silence, oh, it must have been so peaceful. In that silence, he chooses to speak and things begin to form. Okay? Where there's no space, he says space and now there is. He says heavens and now there is. He says oceans and now there is. He says mountains and now there is. He says trees and now there is. Stars. Can you imagine that kind of power? Okay? And in his creating, he doesn't run out of resources. He doesn't overuse things. He doesn't say, well, holy me. I wanted to put more water in the Pacific, but it looks like I used it all up. Angels over to the side. Excuse me, Pacific. Can you clarify what that is? Oh, that's what they'll call it. Just give it a few years, okay? So God is not, he doesn't have to call together the H2O angel board and say, okay, glad everybody could make it today. As you know, we've been working on this project, the Pacific, and we ran out, okay? We were a little sloppy. We overused too much hydrogen and oxygen, so I don't know who to point fingers at that on that one, but actually I do because I'm God. But here's what we need, okay? I want you to put your halos together. I need to know if we can crank out more hydrogen, and I need some more oxygen over here, okay? So maybe if we get that going, we can get this puppy kicking out some more water, okay? No, God says, water, and there's water, okay? He says, rock, and the earth rocks on, okay? He says, tree, and there are over 100,000 different species of trees. Amen? Amen. Now, if you'll look at Colossians, there we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I'll give you a minute to turn there if you would like. Colossians 1, 15. This is what Eric read at the beginning of the sermon. Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God. This is talking about Jesus. The firstborn of all creation. Now, firstborn in this passage does not mean that he was born. This is a Greek term. I think it's prophylactes or something like that. Is that right, Eric? Of course. Anyways, it means a very unique, special individual. And if you want to know more about that, it's kind of a nerdy thing. You can ask me about that later. But wanted to clarify that. The firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, okay, visible and invisible, things we can see, things we can't see, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. See this, not only is God the creator, but he is also the sustainer of all things, meaning he holds things together. As I stand here giving this sermon, the spit that is necessary to be created in my mouth to speak, God holds those salivary glands together. Okay? As I'm able to walk down this aisle, the bones, the tissues, the cells in my body are held together. He holds all things together. Now, we see, this is, throughout the Bible, we see creation obeying God, okay? This is creation obeying God. We can look in Exodus at the plagues, okay? The frogs, when the frogs come, the frogs obey God. God sends them in there, okay? The horde of locusts, okay? They obey God. When the water in the Nile, okay? We just mentioned before that God holds all things together. Holding the water in the Nile together, God breaks it apart and recreates it into blood, changing the water into blood. Okay? When Joshua, a few books later, Joshua is chasing the enemies of Israel. Okay? They've just been routed and they're chasing off the enemies. Joshua says, God, we can't hunt them down at nighttime. It's too dark. We need more hours of daylight. Okay? So what does God do? God stops the rotation of the earth. Hello? Yeah. He stops the rotation of the earth. So what Joshua would say, the sun would stand still in the sky to give them more daylight. Through Elijah, God held back the rain for 3.5 years. Can you say burn ban on? Seriously. Go to the New Testament. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus did not debate. He did not argue. He did not battle demons. He told them, get out of here. He told them what to do. Jesus raises people from the dead. Jesus wakes up from a nap on a rocking boat, goes out to the deck, and tells a storm to stop. This is creation obeying God. Okay? And I could give you example after example after example. This is God at 50,000 feet. Okay? There is nothing in creation that God does not rightly stand over and claim as mine. Now, he is all-knowing. He is all-aware. You are sitting in these seats at the 10 o'clock service on Halloween when God said you would. Okay? You are watching this at home on the internet. Is that the camera right there? When God said you would. Okay? Now, everything I've talked about for the past 20, 25 minutes, I think that we can get this. I think that we understand that God is a big God. We understand that, yes, creation does obey him. But I think the hardest part for me in knowing all of that is that he cares about me. It's to know that he is good and he is merciful and he's gracious. And as we have rebelled against him time and time and time and time again, he has made a way to reconcile us to himself so that we can have the rights of sonship. We can have the rights of daughtership. He sends Jesus Christ, okay, who takes off his glory, takes off his own glory, comes to the earth, okay, to be with man, to live and experience life with man. I mentioned God at 50,000 feet. This is God on the ground, ground level, okay? Walks a sinless life and in his love for us absorbed the wrath of God so that we might have his righteousness, okay? 1 John 3:16 says, by this, what I just mentioned, by this, Jesus on the cross, we know love. This is the definition of love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I've been a Christian for probably 14 years, and I still struggle with this. I still can't get my mind around the fact that the God of the universe loves me. Some people want to be famous. The God of the universe knows your name. That's fame. And I'm not just talking about on your best days, okay? I'm talking about your absolute worst mind in the gutter days. Okay? I'm talking about days where someone cuts you off and you give them the bird. I'm talking about days that you lust. I'm talking about days that you lie about something to make a deal. I'm talking about days that you light up, days you want to punch somebody in the throat. Okay? Days you lose your temper. He cares about you. He loves you. Okay? That goes for the thief, the murderer, the drug dealer, the rapist, the child molester. God is bigger than all of those things. And he gives the sinner, the scum of the earth, the righteousness of Christ. When you leave here today, I don't want you to check God at the door. I don't want you to take away or take off from this sanctuary and leaving God at the door. I want you to take him with you and remind yourself that I am what? A child of God. Okay? That when he looks at you, he says, Leonard, you're my son. I love you. I care about you. I care about everything going on in your life. He says, Debbie, you're my daughter. You're my princess. He loves you. This is the God of the universe. And something I want to challenge you with too is, and I'll tell a story in a minute and then I'll be done. This week, you're going to have a frustrating situation. You're going to have something go wrong for you. Maybe you're going to worry about something. You're going to have fear. You're going to have doubt. You're not going to know how to do something, okay? And it's going to be frustrating for you. But I want you to remind yourself that you know the God of the universe and that he knows you more importantly, okay? He knows the number of the hairs on your head, okay? Sometimes it doesn't take as long as others. Somebody was waiting for that one. No finger pointing. Listen. Sometime this week, that's going to happen, okay? And what I want you to do, I want to challenge you with this, okay? I want you to calm down, and I want you to say, God, you are my authority. I don't know how to do this. Whatever this is, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. This thing is going to affect the rest of my life. I don't understand this. I don't know what to do, God, but I know you do. I know that you rule and you reign over this. So God, I give it to you. I want you to do that, and I want you to watch what happens. Okay? I want you to see that. I want you to email me that story, okay? Leave a note at the church. Tell me that story of trusting God with that this week. Do you understand what I'm asking? Okay? I want you to proclaim him as your authority. Let me give you an example. This is what happened for me. Anybody who's worked with computers long enough knows that the older they get, the more you just want to run over them with your car, right? So I have my laptop, right? And the battery on it, it's dead. And the cord, it's just a little flimsy. So if you bump the cord, it just goes off. And then I have trouble starting it, and it's just, yeah, it's a mess. So I was working on this sermon at the beginning of this week, typing this up, and sure enough, I just kind of reposition my elbow, and it goes off, and I just, and I repented after everything I said. And so I wasn't completely calm, as I'm asking you to be, but I said this. I think I had this look on my face, too. I said, computer, you belong to me, and I belong to Jesus, and he has authority over electronics and computers. So and at this point, it wasn't starting. I said, so in the name of Jesus, start. Boo. So I'm not saying, again, I'm not going for the butler God again, the genie God, okay, but what I want you to do is I want you to trust God this week, okay? With the small, he cares about the small things. He absolutely cares about the small things, okay? Trust God this week. Let's pray. God, my prayer is that whatever was said today, God, that through your Holy Spirit, through me, God, I pray that whatever's not clear, that you fill in the gaps in only the way that you know how to do, God. God, I pray that everyone not leave here feeling like garbage or like dirt, that they are nothing, but God, that they leave here feeling just in awe of how big their God truly is. God, as people begin to hand things over to you this week, God, I pray that you, and as they trust you more and more, I pray that you will make their burdens light, that you will show up in their life in a supernatural way, God, that you will bring them peace. I pray that people do not check you at the door and walk back into sad, sad lives where you are just the Sunday, Christmas, and Easter God. But God, I pray that they see you as the God of the universe that holds all things together, who is larger than life and who cares for us. God, amaze us this week as we hand things to you. Amaze us this week as we trust you with these big and small things in our life. To you be all the glory. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now would you please stand as we sing our song of invitation, This Is the Day, found in your blue hymn book on number 657. Seated. We'll continue in our service with the offertory, and I would remind you, well, there was a story that was going around one time where Eve, the Eve that we know in the Bible, said about Adam, Adam knows many things, some of which are not so. And so I've prayed many things, and I'm glad that I didn't get some of the things that I prayed for. Thank God for that ultimate authority that knows the best and the highest ideals for us. Our bell choir will now do the offertory. Thank you.
Join me in our closing song, number 176, in your hymnal, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
So much for being here today. I hope that our prayer is that you felt God's presence and are able to leave this place filled full of God's Holy Spirit. A couple things to remember. Don't forget, next week, set your clocks back. Not to overdo that, but I know that we have forgotten that before in our house, and that is not good. So anyway, also, don't forget about Trunk or treat. Boy, it would not come to me. Trunk or treat today. Come and enjoy it. Even if you, for some reason, can't be there with your trunk, make sure you bring your kids. If you have children, it'll be a fun time from 6:30 to 8. If you bring your trunk, make sure you come at 6 o'clock.
Can they bring their kids in the trunk?
No.
Not legally. Not legally.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't even sure how to respond to that, okay. Justin.
That's probably best.
So, yeah, yeah. But
Eric, one more thing, please.
Yes.
Show Me Sound Chorus, the barbershop, ladies barbershop chorus, be holding a barbershop and variety show on November 5th at the Methodist Church Celebration Center in Sedalia. It'll be a good time for all, and we invite you to attend. It begins at 7:30 p.m. next Friday.
Three Men and Melody sang with one of their lead quartets all day yesterday in Topeka, so you have a treat if you go to see that show, and of course the chorus is amazing as well. So at this time, I'll hand it to Justin.
Sure. Let's pray as I close this. God, we just ask you, God, as we leave here, Lord, we pray that you rest on our shoulders and that you lift our burdens, God, and Lord, just help us just to speak to us, God. Help us look to you and look to you as our authority over big things and small things, the authority in the workplace, whether it's at school, it's at banks, it's just on the job site. God, you reign and you rule over all those things. And so, God, just help us leave here and carrying that with us, God, and help us just to trust you more and more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.